Today on Impact for Living, founder, sports and business leader, and pastor Scott Whitaker will challenge you to reach your God-given potential and impact, which you were created to have with and for Jesus Christ in the world. Now, here's Scott with today's message.
This morning, I want to read from 1 Kings chapter 19. And I'm reading out of the New King James Version. But Elijah himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree. And he prayed that he might die and said, "It is enough. Now, Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my father's." Then, as he lay and slept under a broom tree, suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, "Arise and eat." Then he looked, and there by his head was a cake baked on coals and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. And then, refreshed, he went to a cave, and the Lord came to him and asked why he was there. And Elijah answered that the king Ahab and his wife Jezebel were after him to kill him. Then the Lord said, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord." And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. Fall is here, Thanksgiving is near, and Christmas is around the corner, reminding us of the moment that message of hope was born into our world. And it comes, I would suggest, none too soon, as uncertainty, confusion, vitriol, dysfunction seems to reign as we stand at a crossroads in our nation and world, looking for direction, and maybe looking for direction even in our personal lives. Elijah lived in such a time. It was around 860 BC, over 800 years before Christ would come to walk the earth. It was a time of gathering storm clouds in one of Israel's darkest hours of separation from God because of their sin toward God. The worship of Baal or false gods was a regular occurrence. Into that pit of moral decay, Elijah brought a passion and commitment and a voice pointing the people over and over from their wicked ways back to the God who had faithfully delivered them from so many difficulties, bad decisions, and misdirection in their lives already. King Ahab and his wife Jezebel had had enough of Elijah's outspokenness, and so they set out to silence him by having him killed. King Ahab was notorious for an evil reign of 6 decades of bloodshed, deception, corruption, idolatry, and immorality. When Ahab married Jezebel, they made the evil kings before them look like rank amateurs. These were two bad people. So, when Elijah got wind of the plot by them to have him killed, he knew it wasn't an empty rumor or an idle threat, and he took off. In utter exhaustion from running, he found himself under a broom tree in the wilderness. Depressed and not knowing where to turn, he threw a pity party for himself, and he wanted to end his life. Elijah knew God had been faithful, and yet here we find him taking his eyes off of God, and instead he focused on his own exhaustion and on the situation that he found himself in. And he prayed that he might die and said, "It is enough. Now, Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my father's." And God's response? I mean, did he grant his request or allow the assassins of King Ahab to find him and kill him? Nope. Not on your life and not on his. Instead, God sent an angel to care for Elijah, to comfort and encourage him, an angel who brought him water and food and stayed with him until he was renewed and restored and until he came to his senses. But knowing that he was still being hunted, Elijah was nervous and went to look for God. He needed help. He wanted to know why this was happening to him. He felt all alone. Remember, Elijah was one of God's great prophets whom God had been with for years and who had used for good. And yet even Elijah, with his past relationship and moments with God, even Elijah doubted, just like we do, don't we? Just like we do. God's response to Elijah's pleas, he came to Elijah in a still, small voice. Or as another translation suggests, he came to Elijah in a gentle whisper, a soft whisper, the sound of a gentle blowing, a gentle and quiet whisper, or a low whisper. Different translations, same message. God's response is always calm and peaceful. The peace that Elijah needed at that moment, the peace that you and I always need. And God didn't show himself in the great and powerful wind that tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks. He wasn't in the earthquake, which came after the wind. He wasn't in the fire, which followed. He wasn't in any of that. Just like he is never in all the noise and distractions and voices of the world all around us. But instead, God was always in and will always be in a still, small voice. You and I may not have assassins coming after us at the moment, at least I hope not. But if your life is anything like mine, you'll have moments, sometimes many of them, where you need some reminder, some sign, some indication that God is there. Please, anything, God, tell me, show me that you care. You'll need to hear his voice. That's what Elijah needed in that moment. So where do we look for that still small voice of God when we feel like Elijah did and we need comfort and direction? I remember so many times in my life needing God's direction when considering politics years ago or making a career change or following call after call after call that I thought I kept pushing aside, but God's call to ministry, dealing with difficult relationship decisions, often looking for God's big finger to write the answer for me in the clouds as I looked up literally and looked for it, or sending in a digital message on a sports scoreboard where I was at a game looking at the scoreboard. Really, I did. Or even better, in a big booming voice saying, "This way, Scott, go this way, do this." And I'll bet we've all listened to the powerful winds of dissension and heard the hot fire of the voices of criticism, or looked within the earthquakes of broken relationships and setbacks, losses, tragedies in our lives, which at times seemed, at least at the time, insurmountable. We have all been burned by the growing fires of doubt, which often follow us like heat-seeking missiles. Maybe even today, they're after us. Certainly for those of us who are coaches or in similar positions of leadership in business, our families, education, the church, or wherever, always subject, it seems, to the expectations placed upon us by others, those penetrating voices of doubt seem to get even louder in those situations, and louder as we struggle to make decisions, as we try to meet expectations and try to find our way and the way for others. But those, my friends, are the voices of the world. Dissension, criticism, media, fans, worldly values, expectations, and things. The noise that tries to distract us from where we should go and what we should do. And they affect us. They really do affect us, but only when we let them. The voice we need to listen for and listen to is that eternal one. That one that wants the best for us, that still, small voice of God, that voice of calm, that voice of assurance and peace, the voice of wise counsel, which often comes to us quietly in the voices of those we trust, in those who don't care about our station in life, or how much money we have, or championships we've won, or how many homes we own, or how much stuff we have, or the positions of power and influence that we think we occupy in the eyes of the world. We've all listened to voices of doubt and criticism which are ever ready to knock us off track from becoming all that God intends for us to be. But God doesn't speak to us in a voice of doubt or in a voice of criticism. That's not where we will find that still, small voice of God. Instead, we'll find his voice in a calm, strong voice of assurance, direction, and redirection, of correction, of power, and peace. In the quiet of our thoughts with him as we study his word and offer our prayers of concern and our requests for guidance, we'll find it in the encouraging voices of loved ones and trusted friends who are never far away from us and always ready to come alongside us and pick us up when we're down. In the aftermath of whatever we go through and will go through in life, the still, small voice of God is always there, calling us to Him, no matter what we face. There to embrace us, to guide us, and remind us that He is always with us and always loves us. And whatever we find ourselves in the midst of, He's always got it. And He's got us in His hands and is right there with us to go through it together with Him. Whatever we go through, whatever is going on around us or in the world around us, wherever we find ourselves, whatever decisions we face or mountains that seem to loom before us, listen for that voice, that still, small voice of God for you and for me. Follow that. Follow Him. Let me pray for us. Father, I thank You. I thank You for Your message. I thank You that You realized when I was preparing this that I needed to hear this, even most recently from things that I was going through. So thank You for doing what You do to remind us how much You love us and You share with us and direct us. Thank You. Help us, Lord, to focus through all the voices, the distractions, the criticism, the dissension around us, and focus, penetrate through all those to find that still, small voice of Yours, that gentle whisper. Thank You that it's always there. Help us to find it in those that love us and those that don't care that we may have this platform or that, or this or that, or some image the world thinks is important. They just care about us. Help us to find that still, small voice that is Yours through others. Thanks for loving us. Thanks for all You do for us and with us. Be with those who are going through difficult times now, through surgery, through rehabilitation after surgery, that may be down. Lift them up. Let them sense and hear Your still, small voice for them today and every day. Thanks for loving us. Thanks for all You do for us and with us, and especially thank You for sending Your Son. And it's in His precious name we pray, amen and amen.
We hope that Scott's message today has challenged and encouraged you. Thank you for being with us, and be sure to join Scott and Impact for Living next week for another faith-filled message focused on God's plan and purpose for your life.